Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of Follow the Money will join us. We will go over futures in Major League Baseball, awards, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Excited to talk to Mitch. He's always looking at this stuff in terms of the futures and looking for long numbers. So excited to get his thoughts. AL Cy Young, the big one this week with Scooble being hurt and Crochet already hurt and having been bad for the early portion of this season. Those are two guys that were, co-favorites. So a wide open race. Interested to get Mitch's thoughts on that and a lot else. But we'll start with the NBA. Been doing a lot of NBA with the playoffs going here. A couple of game twos here on Friday. The Knicks now 1.5-point dogs to the Sixers in Minnesota in San Antonio, with San Antonio laying 4 on the road. Before I get to that, Cleveland trails now Detroit 2-0. And it's interesting, Knicks lead 2-0 over Philly, minus 1,000 on the series price. Detroit leads 2-0 over Cleveland. It's only minus 350 on the series price. And I don't think, and they're almost like daring you to lay it with Detroit. I do think Cleveland, as bad as it was Thursday, and they were down double digits, came back, took a lead, felt like, all right, maybe this is the game they get. They even the series, they steal home court, took a lead, and just could not hit a three all game. 0-for-12 from three in the fourth quarter. Harden, and I usually reject these, this guy's a choker, this guy can't do it in the playoffs. Usually it's just small sample size, it's randomness. I think there's a lot of that to that with a lot of these guys. Harden has just made his bed with this stuff. He's been awful in the playoffs this year. Previous years, go back to his time in OKC where he stunk in the finals against the Heat. I mean, he's had a million of these, and it's past the point of coincidence. I don't know if it's in 3 of 13, a million turnovers, some of them unforced. I think some of it is he just gets worn down, and so much of his game is getting contact going to the line. And by the end of an 82-game season, he's not one of these guys that load manages. He's just exhausted physically, and he's shot. I don't know if part of it is he's so reliant on the whistle and getting to the foul line. And once you get to the playoffs, a lot of that contact is allowed, so you don't get to the foul. I mean, maybe it's all that stuff, and it's not excuses. He deserves whatever criticism he gets. He's been awful in the playoffs, but usually I reject that stuff. For years, Bonds stunk in the playoffs. Barry Bonds, A-Rod stunk in the playoffs until they had monster postseasons. You hear that about Judge. Well, Judge hit 500 in the playoffs last year. So a lot of the times that stuff evens out over the long course. It's just a small sample size, but Harden is a case where all of that criticism is warranted, is justified. I do think Cleveland will be heard from in this series. I do think they got a pretty good shot to get both of them in Cleveland and make this 2-2 and then turn it into a best of three. I mean, look, you got to win, however you want to phrase it, you got to win 4 out of 5. You got to win one in Detroit eventually. They're laying 4.5 here. Game 3 will be on Saturday afternoon. I do like Cleveland here to probably get both of them. I do think they win game 3, and I think they probably win game 4. I mean, it's hard to pick them in the series when they're down 2-0. I do still think it's a longer series. I think we get a 6th game and probably a 7th, possibly a 7th. I'd say probably a 6th, possibly a 7th. But hey, they're down 2-0. Hard to pick them. Is there any value at the plus 250 or so, plus 275? Not really. Not really. I think if you like them, just playing game to game. But would not be shocked if, they push this the distance. I do think they'll be heard from and win the games in Cleveland. But Detroit up 2-0, and man, it is frustrating from somebody who bet the Magic. You watch this Cavs team, you watch the Pistons. Boy, the Magic would have had a shot against the Cavs, had Detroit beat, as we know, up 24. Not to belabor it, not to make it all about, my stupid bet, but Orlando, you got to be kicking yourself watching these playoffs because, man, not impossible. And the series would have started in Cleveland, different matchup, all that stuff. But, is it possible Orlando, if they won that series, and it looked like Friday night when they're up 24, they were going to win that series. Is it possible they go to Cleveland, they get a split, and they're going home to Orlando 1-1, similar like they were with Detroit, and then they could just hold serve at home and try to get to an Eastern Conference Finals? We'll never know. Tough. The Wagner injury, the blown lead, but that's definitely crossed my mind more than a couple times watching Cleveland and Detroit. But I do think Cleveland will make a little bit of a run in this series, even if you do have to favor Detroit. Which leads us into the other Eastern Conference semifinals. The Knicks go up 2-0 on Wednesday night. Philly was game. Philly was in it. Embiid got scratched in the afternoon. And I was saying, I went on a numbers game that morning, and I think I said it on this podcast. Man, the every other day nature of the series, you just wonder, can Embiid hold up physically? It took until game 2 for him to be ruled out. In some ways, it was a blessing in disguise because he just couldn't get up and down the court. couldn't guard. The energy level just wasn't there. And he was certainly targeted defensively. We'll see if he plays in game 3. I mean, you just have to hold your breath. Not only game to game with him, but possession to possession. But what gives Philly some hope, OG Anunoby, and this to me, I mean, Shams Charania, who reports for ESPN, I don't know how you report this, that Anunoby, and it looked like Anunoby did pull a hamstring, so I buy that part. Dealing with a hamstring strain, questionable day to day. Both cannot be true. If he's playing in game 3, he didn't pull a hamstring. And if he pulled a hamstring, he's not day to day. You can't, nobody pulls a hamstring and plays the next day. There's no way. This isn't a day to day injury. This is a week long injury, weeks plural. This is not something you could tough out. I know a couple years ago, I think he had a similar injury against the Pacers. He tried to play in game 7, couldn't do anything. And if you're in the Knicks, you're getting flashbacks, because I've referenced this the other day on the show, where they were up 2-0 against the Pacers, same round, same time of year, same round, same score, up 2-0, second round against Indy. Looked like they were no way going to lose 4 out of 5. They won the first 2 games pretty convincingly. And then they just started to get hurt. Anunoby got hurt, and he's always hurt. He's a really good player, and he's played extremely well. And I do think his absence, and I do think he'll be out probably the rest of the series, gives Philly a shot here. The whole team got hurt 2 years ago, and you just wonder, you just have concerns here for the Knicks, not only for this series, but hey, going forward. Let's get out of this series, which I don't think is a foregone conclusion now. I do think Philly, similar to Cleveland, will win game 3. I think game 4 is a toss-up. I think I have faith in Cleveland to get both at home for whatever reason. I probably shouldn't. I don't have that same faith for Philly. I think they get game 3. I think it's like 50-50 that they get the fourth one. They need both. The Knicks, if you get a split, you're going to win the series, as long as you don't fall apart physically and you have more injuries. As long as you get one, and if you win Friday night, you win game 3, you know what? It's over. Philly's not coming back from down 3-0. I know it's going to happen at some point here, but the Knicks can basically clinch the series with a win Friday night. I think Philly at home with no Anunoby. I think Paul George will probably have a big time game without Anunoby guarding, because Anunoby can just do what nobody else on the Knicks can do. Can guard wings, can guard multiple positions, can do it well, can shoot mid ranges. And I know Bridges has played well and they've got other players, but to me, Anunoby is so important. And I just, man, that is a blatant lie for the Knicks. If you're going to say he pulled his hamstring, he's day-to-day, he's questionable for Friday night for game 3. I mean, that is just pure gamesmanship to say that. There's no way, if he really pulled a hamstring or strained a hamstring, there's just no way he's playing in game 3, and I don't think he's playing the rest of the series. So I think that gives Philly some hope. I think they'll win game 3, and to me, game 4 is a toss-up. I think the Knicks will... same thing I was saying with Detroit. I mean, it's hard to say the team that's up 2-0 is not going to win the series. It's hard to pick the team down 0-2 to say, you know what, I think they're going to win. But plus 600, plus 650 on the series price for Philly, I don't think that's the worst bet. Just with the thought process that, you know what, Philly gets game 3, then if they get game 4, you're 2-2, and you could figure out what to do with that ticket going forward. Or you could just play Philly in game 3 and play him in game 4. I was surprised. I was doing the show, the primetime show Wednesday on VSiN with Dustin Sweetelson, and it opened Knicks -2.5. I was shocked by that. Should have just taken Philly +2.5 then. Obviously, you could just take Philly on the money line and you're not worried about laying the 1.5, but still, you'd love to be getting the plus money on the money line. You'd love to be getting the 2.5 as opposed to laying 1.5 or laying $1.25 or so on the money line. But I do think Philly gets game 3. And like I said, I think game 4, kind of a toss up there on Sunday afternoon. Sunday is also going to be the lottery, which is very strange to have the lottery drawing, which is fun. There's a lot of moving parts. OKC has the Clippers pick. There's some drama with the Pacers pick, whether they keep it or give it to the Clippers in the Zubats trade. It's obviously a very good draft. You know, whoever gets it, do they take DeBonza? Do they take Peterson? Do they throw a curveball and take somebody else? But usually it's a Tuesday night before the conference finals, usually right around that game 1 of the conference finals, I want to say. So it's a little earlier. Just the timing of it is odd. I don't know why they put it on a Sunday, but We'll make for some good content on the Monday version of the podcast to know who's going to get the first pick in the draft. So I like Philly in game 3. I would look at Paul George over points too, because I just think without Anunoby, and I do not see Anunoby playing here, I think he could be in for a big time game. I'm not sure who the Knicks kind of replace his minutes with. Do they go small? Rip Robinson, the center, missed last game, so is he back? some interesting decisions here that Knicks coach Mike Brown has to make. And, you know, looking at Paul George in his prop, 18 plus is plus money, 17 plus. So over under 16 and a half, that's a play for me. Paul George, 17 plus points, over 16 and a half points. At home, no Anunoby. Who knows? Maybe no Embiid. And even if Embiid starts, there's no guarantee he's going to play the whole game or, you know, where he's at physically. And that might be a situation where, and his over-under is 26 and a half. Boy, that would terrify me, because you could be in a scenario with Embiid. He goes out there, he tries to play, then the hip starts bothering him, the knee starts bothering him, and then he can only play 5 minutes, 8 minutes, and you're on the hook for that over. So I would look under Embiid. I would look for over George. I mean, that's correlated. If they give you a fair price on the parlay, that's not a bad parlay, but I do expect Philly to win this game and make it a 2-1 series here. And that confidence of the Knicks coming out of the East, that tickle a little bit of a hit. I said the other day, I think the Knicks are going to the finals. If I had to pick a team right now, I would still pick the Knicks. But with Anunoby, I expect him to be out multiple weeks, not multiple days. That hurts their chance to get to the finals. And if they ever got to the finals and he's not back or he's not 100%, that really hurts their ability to be competitive against San Antonio or OKC. And maybe we're just overlooking the most obvious bet. Maybe we should just be betting OKC, who's in action right now against the Lakers. So, maybe by the time you listen to this, the Lakers pull off a miraculous win and it's 1-1, but I don't think so. I think the Thunder right around 170, 180, minus 170, minus 180 to win the championship and go back-to-back. I think that's probably a solid bet. I know the Spurs could get him. I know injuries could happen. I understand all that, but that's one where you look at it, man, I don't want to lay the 170. I don't want to lay the 180. And then like 2 weeks from now, it's minus 330, and you wish you laid the $1.70, $1.80. But coming up, we'll talk to Mitch Moss. And one last thing, too. I'll probably talk about this more on the Monday pod. The Monday pod's going to be a little longer, too, by the way, because it will be on VSiN, I believe, midnight. This will be on Sunday nights into Monday. The Monday version of the pod will be on VSiN, part of the summer programming, too, which I'm excited about. So those pods will be a little bit longer. So maybe I'll talk about this Monday, but you're getting to the point with the Vrabel stuff, and every day it's just hard to keep up with these stories. They're on boats, and they're here, and they're there. It's basically like, where's Waldo? They're everywhere from years ago, and it's amazing they were this brazen about it. It's amazing people held on to these photos for so long. You're starting to wonder if Vrabel's going to coach the team. I don't think Kraft will fire him. Same thing I mentioned when I talked about this a week or so ago. He's a good coach, and if you fire him, you know what? He's going to take a year off, get his life together, and then he's going to be coaching the Jets or the Texans in a year, and you're going to be competing against them. Why do that? But it might come to the point where he just needs to take a year off or just take a leave of absence, and it's just such a point of distraction where you wonder if he can continue as the coach. I know there's markets on that and the prediction markets. I think yes is still the favorite. Yes is still the rightful favorite, but you start to wonder here if there's just a point of no return, and at some point here, it's just not tenable here for him to return as the Patriots coach, at least for this year. And maybe he takes a year off. I don't know, because you could give it to Belichick. Hey, we're on to Cincinnati all you want, and just keep deflecting. The story reaches a point where it's so big, it's so distracting, and who knows where it ends, if it ends. It seems like every couple of days there's something new with it, that it just consumes the team. It becomes just too big of a distraction for him to continue. Again, I don't think he'll be fired, but could he just say, you know what, I need a year, I need 6 months to get my life in order, and I'll be back next year? I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. We'll see what Mitch Moss thinks. We'll talk some baseball, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him. Follow the Money Pod to the Future. It's our buddy Mitch Moss, and he joins us now. Mitch, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Will. Good to talk to you, man. How are you?
All is well. Great time of the year. A lot of games, a lot to discuss. I guess let's start baseball. The big story of the week, at least from a futures perspective, the AL Cy Young race blown wide open. Skubal out of the mix. He's gone for a while. Crochet hurt, and he's been bad. I know you've made some bets in this already, but is there a bet to be made right now? If you had nothing in pocket, what would you say, the best direction to go is here for AL Cy Young?
It's a phenomenal question, because looking at the odds board today compared to where it was yesterday, things have moved because certain guys pitched recently and they had either really good outings or really bad outings. And in fact, on Wednesday, a couple of guys that I wanted to look at, they both pitched. One was Brian Wu. Now, he was coming off of two awful starts where he gave up a combined, I think it was 16 earned runs, right? Got absolutely rocked. That was a very atypical stretch for him. If you go back to last year, how consistently great that guy was, going 6+ innings at every start, basically allowed nothing to opposing teams. And he bounced back yesterday in with a great performance, had 9 strikeouts, 1 hit, I believe, no earned runs. They got the win. Now, he dropped from 30-1 to around 22 or 20-1 today, which still might be worth it, I think. And the other guy was Will Warren, Cam Schlittler's teammate, not named Max Fried, because I can't tie up my money on Max Fried at around, plus 350 or a little bit lower than that for the rest of the year. I just can't. And then Warren went out and got rocked by the Rangers. So, that he, at home, that guy has been super consistent and reliable. And the Rangers got to him last night, but also he was available at 100-1. I don't know if that's out there anymore. I think that this, when you go down the board, there's not a lot to love right now. So I'm also kind of thinking maybe lay back and allow this to breathe for another week or two before you get involved.
Yeah, and I got involved at DeGrom, and he went out, and this was Tuesday, right after the day after the Scoop news, and DeGrom went out. It had a rocky start, but that moved it from 13-1 to 18-1, which I don't think is the worst bet. AL is obviously very jumbled outside of the Yankees, who look dominant, but look, you can't win the title in October or in May, as we know, and it's still a long way away from the playoffs. Is there anyone from this morass that you think is going to rise? And somebody, by process of elimination, even if you think the Yankees are the team to beat, which they look like, somebody has to play them in the ALCS. So whether it's, the Blue Jays getting back on track, the Mariners, the Orioles, name your team. Is there a team that you think, they're not playing well right now, they don't have a good record, but they're coming?
I think that team ultimately would be Seattle again, because they made moves last year at the deadline, and I feel like they would approach the season the same way this year. And, they are getting bad performances from Cal Raleigh at the plate. The guy's batting below 200 as we speak. And, I obviously did not expect him to repeat or come anywhere close to what he did last year. But he needs to pick it up, and I'm sure that he will. This team generally gets a little bit better at the plate as the season progresses. I mean, that's who Julio Rodriguez is and what he does. But I can't get beyond that pitching. I mean, it's so good that should carry the day for Seattle. And by the way, they're banged up right now in the bullpen. Once they get their guys back and they can make it if they get 6 innings from most of their starters, they can go, have the bridge into Brash into the 8th, and then you come back with Munoz in the 9th. That is a fantastic way to win a bunch of games. And I think it would be only Seattle, the team that I would look at.
Anything else baseball-wise, awards, futures, or otherwise, that you would recommend betting right now?
I don't know. Do you want to tie up money on Ohtani to win the Cy Young? Or has that number dipped too far at this point?
What is the current number? I don't think it's a bad bet.
He's 7-1. So Skeens was awesome last night, as we're taping this on Thursday morning, against Arizona. So you're going to have to get by him. Chris Sale is doing it yet again this year, and Christopher Sanchez ahead of Ohtani. But it feels to me like this team, like Ohtani, really is going for it this year by not playing or not batting in the games in which he is starting. And his numbers are sick that you can't deny them. And I agree with those. Like David Sampson, former Marlins president for many, many years, has a podcast. And he was saying last week that, rest assured, Ohtani is going for this award, and the Dodgers are also going to allow him, because this would be the cherry on top of his career and the one thing that he doesn't have at this moment. He's got everything else. And if he were to put a Cy Young award on the mantle, I mean, he's already the best player of all time. So that is just, he's best player all time with a bullet at that point.
Interesting. Yeah, I could certainly see the logic. All right, NBA. Recording this before the Thursday games. I guess I'll ask it this way. Do you think Philly, they're going to need to get both in Philly, games 3 and 4. Do you think they get both? Do you think Knicks get at least a split here? How do you see the rest of this series playing out?
Boy, it feels to me like, Philly had to have game 2. They absolutely had to have that game like blood. And it was right there for the taking, and they could not finish off the Knicks. I'm pretty confident they're going to get at least one of these games. 2 is the $64,000 question. I think the Knicks probably go back home to New York with a 3-1 series lead.
Is it just a foregone conclusion that 6 weeks from now the Thunder are going to be holding up the trophy?
I think so. I mean, so let's talk about the Thunder and tie it into the Spurs, because as we saw in game one against the Timberwolves, I mean, game two was a rout, but game one, like, Minnesota's really good. And they are probably going to give San Antonio a very strong series here. I'm going to throw out what happened in game. A loss is a loss. They'll bounce back, and I'm guessing win at least one of these games back in Minnesota. The Thunder, their biggest question mark to me is how they will fare against San Antonio if they get them in the Western Conference Finals. I think the Thunder would take care of Minnesota in five, maybe six games, and I really like this Minnesota team. It's the only question I have about Oklahoma City is, can they survive San Antonio? Because I think there was something to that, Will, in the regular season when the Spurs not only beat them up, I mean, they I think, threw the fear of God into Oklahoma City. And I think Oklahoma City is going to have that in the back of their minds when they play them. So I think the Spurs could beat the Thunder. I also think, like, multiple teams could give the Spurs a run for the money out of the East, including the Knicks. I actually think the Knicks would beat the Spurs in a seven-game series. But how many teams could actually beat the Thunder from the East? Zero, in my opinion. I think they're all five-game series or a sweep, to be honest. So the only team I think that I really fear from Oklahoma City's side of this would be San Antonio. That's it. And if they get by San Antonio, they're going to be the champs, in my opinion.
I don't think they're going to beat Minnesota the next three. So to me, and I don't think Minnesota's probably going to win the series, although I wouldn't be shocked. So to me, it's Spurs either in six or seven. Do you share that sentiment? Do you have any feel for how the rest of that series goes?
No, I think Minnesota takes at least one of these games at home. Minimum. They could go back. I mean, will they go back 3-1? That seems, San Antonio is so good. No, I think this has six, seven games for sure. And it's going to drag out, and Oklahoma City is going to be well-rested. And maybe at that point, they'll get Jalen Williams back, and they're completely loaded for whichever team comes out of it. But game two, again, I think you got to kind of throw out. And the Spurs have been dynamite after a loss going back now this entire year, one of the best teams in recent history after a loss. So they're great there. And like the overall disrespect for Minnesota is just, it's insane to me because they've made the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. They have, I mean, they're clearly a very deep basketball team. Alexander Walker could not even start on this team. He leaves, and in year one, he wins Most Improved. Then they have guys who can't even play in the regular season like Terrence Shannon, who are now key parts. So once they get fully healthy, if they do, damn good team. And I would think that like this series to go seven games is actually not that bad of a bet.
Right now, again, recording this before these games, if I gave you coming out of the East, the Knicks or the field, who would you take?
So I think the Knicks would take care of the Cavaliers in five or six games. I think the Knicks want nothing to do with Detroit. I think that's basically the only team. And it's funny how this works, right? Because Detroit was very lucky to get by Orlando. Easily could have, should have, would have lost that series. So that was a bad matchup for them. I thought the Knicks, had they gotten Boston in this round rather than Philadelphia, Boston would have been favored and I would have been all over New York. I was convinced that New York would beat Boston again this year in a playoff series. I think the one team, and I think there is something to this when you go back and look at how the games went this year, how that went last year in the postseason. I think Detroit, it depends on how that whistle would go. But I think Detroit would present several problems for the Knicks to come out.
Sounds like you're, and I this is where I'm at with it, OKC to beat the Knicks in the final. If you had to pin me down, that's where I'm at. Is that where you're at or not necessarily?
It definitely is. And I was looking around for that price before the Knicks got out of the first round. And it's not a great price, but I think it was plus 325 or plus 350 at the time.
It's come down a dollar or so. I still don't think it's a terrible bet, considering we're a step closer with each team.
Yeah. Do you think the Knicks can give Oklahoma City a series?
Probably not. I would say they could win a game. I think, anything more than a game and they get like two, they would have done well for themselves. Obviously, injuries are a huge part of these playoffs. It's amazing how often these guys get hurt with all the load managing. You know, Edwards and Luka and Durant, and just you go down the line, these guys load manage like never before and they get hurt still like never before. But outside of that, it's OKC probably in five. I mean, maybe six, maybe even four. But I don't know, five seemed like the sweet spot where I think, you know, your point is probably a good one, where if the Knicks are going to win this whole thing, they probably have to draw San Antonio in the final.
I think so. But also, are the Knicks better than the Pacers were last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a good point. It's comparable. It's probably comparable. Don't you think OKC, a year under, like a title under their belt, they'll just be a little more settled in, a little more ready for it?
That was going to be my next question then. So let's say the Knicks are on par or maybe slightly better than Indiana last year, right? So the Pacers, I don't know, if Haliburton doesn't get hurt, maybe they win that game seven in Oklahoma City. But your point, I think, is well said, because they won it last year. They were probably ultra nervous. Now, you know what playoff experience does for a team. Teams repeat in the NBA all the time, going back in history. And if they get Jalen Williams back again and they're fully healthy, the Knicks are really good. I just don't see how they could take it, you know, win that series or even make it like a six or a seven gamer.
Anything NHL worth playing? Futures, Conn Smythe, you tell me again, recording this before the Thursday games, anything you think is worth a bet right now NHL-wise?
Avalanche in a sweep against Minnesota. Anaheim to beat the Golden Knights, although that number came down obviously after they got game two. That's around plus 140. They've clearly been the better team. I would say the Golden Knights have... they've played one good period so far in the series. I would also maybe say, if you want to play an exacta here, and you're talking about playoff experience again, how much does that matter? You look at Carolina and how many years in a row they've gotten into the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals, and what that might do for them against, well, so far up 2-0 going into the game tonight against Philadelphia. No playoff experience there. And the other two teams, Buffalo and Montreal, forget it. I mean, so Carolina, how about Colorado over Carolina in an exacta?
Yeah.
That's very chalky. I get it. And it's the NHL playoffs. Anything right. can happen. But we're looking at maybe two teams that just completely lay over the field here.
Last couple here. Does Vrabel coach week one?
Now this is getting steamy, isn't it?
Not going away. When you're in these situations, I'm sure Vrabel would give anything for this to just, please, no more stories. Let this thing die. It won't die. It just really won't go away.
Well, how about the following this stuff, and it gets a little old after a while, but some of the reports that I saw yesterday is that these big, like, national talk shows are really trying to get Russini pinned down so they can get the exclusive. So what happens if she... I don't know why she would, but if she wants to do a tell-all, that's probably not going to go well for Mike Vrabel. But there's also this. Robert Kraft, with his history, and we brought this up on the air and people laughed at me. I brought it up because it was an actual betting market. Like, will he be the week one starter? So, like, there's a number out there on this, right?
Yes.
But Robert Kraft, with his history, does he seem like the kind of guy that would say, Mike, what you did, pal, we can't have that here?
I don't think it's Kraft. I think maybe Vrabel from his perspective. And it's interesting to go back. Remember that year he was out of the NFL?
Yeah.
He was like an assistant with the Browns. And people were like, wow, he's a pretty good coach to be out on the market. Maybe somebody knew something. Maybe this was out there. And man, with the way they were just out and about, it would be hard to believe this wasn't out there. And it's just strange how out in the open this was. Does Vrabel get to the point where he says, you know what, I can't do this. This is too much of a distraction. This isn't fair to the team. This isn't fair to anybody. I mean, I know these football coaches, they're like robots, and they just say, hey, we're getting ready for week one, or we're getting ready for the Chiefs. So you can keep giving that answer. At some point, it becomes too big of a distraction where you can't sweep it under the rug. And maybe he just, whether it's a leave of absence, whether it's, you know, he just resigns. I don't know, but I do think it's on the table more than I did think, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And to me, the Patriots are a fade when you look at that schedule, the distraction, Super Bowl hangover. So there are some betting tentacles to this.
Yeah. Now, his players did come out. I saw they were in like a they were doing an interview, like a group together. And Christian Gonzalez is one of the guys saying that he's their guy. Like the players at this point, and I don't know, it's like every single person in the locker room, obviously, but they made it a point to come out and say that we're back. We're fully behind him. And we support him and we want him to be the head coach. So if it doesn't really matter to them, then I don't know if that would be a thing that Vrabel would have to look in the mirror and say, I can't believe it. I got busted and now I got to Bale and I can't coach in the NFL anymore.
Would you say it's 50-50? He's there week one. You think it's a favorite? He's still, I would still think it's a favorite. He's there. But I mean, I'd say it's more 60-40 than a couple weeks ago. I probably would have said it's 80-20 or 90-10.
Yeah. I'd still lean 70-30 or 75-25 that he's going to be there. Yeah. But he needs this thing to go away rather than linger.
Yes. Yes. That would be helpful. Have you made any football bets yet?
No, I have a couple in queue, but also I'm waiting for a couple of books to post up numbers. Like out here, Circa, they don't have awards yet for the NFL season. I want to see how the schedule is going to break. I know which team I want to be on in the NFL, and it's going to be Detroit. Their schedule, when people actually see it pop on the screen and they look at it from a week-to-week basis with their opponents that they get this year in a last-place schedule, people are going to see it and say, oh my God, Detroit has a very good path this year. And they're around 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're going to bounce back this season and have just a phenomenal year, in my opinion. If they stay healthy, obviously, but that's the team I think is going to make a huge run based on who they play.
Yeah, and it's amazing Minnesota leapfrogged them for third place, which nobody's really paying attention to. Nobody cares. They kind of flew under the radar, but they beat them on that, Christmas Day. Then they won the final week, and somehow Minnesota, which was dead the middle of the season, and Detroit was a contender up until the final weeks. Minnesota actually leapfrogs them, finishes third, and makes Detroit finish fourth and actually affects the schedule. And, you know, I always say this, the NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup, it takes you to the middle of June, and by the time that ends, you know what? You're like 6 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game. So
sure.
It'll be here before you know it. Mitch, Follow the Money, Pod to the Future. Where else can we find you?
That's good. Follow the Money every day from 4 until 7 o'clock Eastern time on VSiN. And the pod is called Pod to the Futures. JVT and I, all we do basically is talk about futures. And on that note with the Lions, I would go like everything with them. Super Bowl, NFC, highest scoring team in the NFL, most wins this year. I'm probably going to bet all of it.
Mitch, you're the best, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you to Mitch Moss. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Monday. See you then.